Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
All right. Happy Tuesday. Actually, it's Wednesday. I found out yesterday was Tuesday.
That's
today's
right.
Wednesday. Whether you believe it or not, damn it, today's Wednesday.
That's right. If you're in the Chiefs facility, today is a Wednesday for you, right?
That's right.
Yesterday was Tuesday.
That means tomorrow's Thursday. Can we go on that same schedule?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I wish we could.
Because then Friday.
Friday would be Thursday. Saturday. Yes, exactly. Saturday's Sunday this week, right?
Yeah, that's how they do things.
We're just living in the NFL world right now, man.
Pretty much. Yeah, that was mind-blowing. But no, that's how they do the schedule. When the game is not on an actual Sunday, traditionally, they'll go, you know, a day that it is. So as confused as you think that I sound, that's as confused as we are all the way around. In this wonderful world of sports, Chiefs Saturday at 3:30. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. Temperatures are falling. Now the high is 20.
Oh, see, I disagree. I saw this morning high of 31.
Yeah, you said it on TV. It said 20. Man, temperatures falling
TV
and
lies.
Windy.
It's a 20. 20.
That's scary.
It says windy, 20. Temperatures falling fast.
Saturday, like it says 34. High of 16. Cloudy.
Okay.
Sunday, 16.
Yikes.
Monday, 10.
Woo.
And the temperatures are falling fast because we go, today's a high of 24, balmy 24 today.
Felt nice. Warm this morning, though.
Then it's 30 tomorrow, and then we got 40, 43 on Friday, and then 34, 16, 10, and then 23, 35. So a little dip
that
for the weekend.
Like all the first-round scores of the NFL playoff. 34,
yeah,
15,
34, 10.
10.
Yeah, 16, 6,
yep.
10, 3,
yep.
23 to 1,
yep.
35, 18. Yeah, that's pretty much all the wild card weekend scores.
27 to 9, last night's score.
Another stinker in the wild card round. And I got a little frustrated yesterday because people were complaining about the wild card, you know, and the games not being any good and whatnot. Did you watch the first 17, 18 weeks of the regular season in the NFL? Like, the regular season, the NFL, we've talked about it. It's not the best. I mean, we've been spoiled because we've got the Chiefs here in Kansas City, and there's a couple of other fringe decent teams out there. But when it really all boils down to it, there's not many great teams in the NFL. And I think that's part of the reason why people, Dusty, love the regular season is because everybody feels like each week they have a chance to win. And then the playoffs get here and people get mad and they get upset and they complain about the league and there's too many playoffs and all this kind of stuff. You'd be bitching if there wasn't enough playoffs. Like, either you're in or you're out at this time of year, you know?
I think I have a way to maybe explain, because I want to wrap a bow on top of this thing that we talked about yesterday about being competitive and being entertaining and product-wise. And I think Mac would agree to this just because, like, we kind of came up with this in our lives. I think that when you watch playoff football, and maybe I'm wrong, 913-586-7965, because I don't know how many people watch and consume the NFL like I do, but I think I speak for a lot of the masses. I think when you watch the playoffs, you're watching individual game after individual game after individual game. When I watch during the regular season, if it's not the Chiefs, I'm watching clips.
You're watching highlights. You're moving on. You are.
I'm not watching the longevity of a football game.
Yep.
I'm not watching second for second for second. I don't see the three and outs. I don't see the, you know, long drives that end in a field goal. I'm watching every time something's happened. Scott Hansen is letting me know this.
Right.
Because red zone has essentially, I don't know, killed it.
I think that's a great analogy to use, though. No, I'm in on that.
And the analogy that I use it to is like the same sort of generation Mac and I came up with, which I kind of came, you and I similar. Used to buy CDs for three songs.
Right.
Now I can go to iTunes and I can find all three of those good songs and mix my own collab with it and play hit after hit after hit after hit. I don't have to hear intro, second song, wait till the third one comes along. Just like in the NFL regular season, like, yeah, it's 18 weeks, but every single week I'm either watching Red Zone from noon to three or I'm watching Red Zone from 3 to noon, or I'm watching it all day and the Chiefs are playing Sunday night.
Well, yeah, and I think that that's a really decent way to kind of approach this, and one that I didn't even consider. It's like everybody is sitting right. Everybody that's been complaining about the playoffs probably just sat around and watched Red Zone all year long, right? Mm-hmm. Or they have their team, they watch their games, and then everything else is Red
Checks
Zone.
Out,
it's kind,
yeah.
of, kind of what I've been doing for the last, you know, couple of years. I'm not spending any more money than I have to on the NFL these days, right? And so watching Red Zone, you're involved and you're thinking it's highlight after highlight after highlight after highlight. Mm-hmm. And really, when you take it all and break it all down, there's a very, very small number of highlights in an NFL Sunday versus, right. you know, everything else. And if you're watching Red Zone, you're right. You just don't see everything else. And now people are kind of forced to watch game by game by game. And sometimes you're just not going to get good matchups. You're also dealing with human nature. Sometimes guys aren't going to play, you know, so well. But, you know, the first round of the college football playoffs had the blowouts. The first round of the NFL playoffs had the blowouts. Do you want to reduce the number of teams in the playoffs? I don't think anybody would really want to do that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I don't think anybody really wants to reduce the number of teams in the postseason because that's going to cost them a lot of money. They're going to add more teams to the playoffs before it's all said and done. And we'll see, you know, more teams getting in, at least one more team getting in, but nobody made the case as a, you know, a 5, 6, or 7 seed in the playoffs that they deserve to be seeded any higher. Maybe Washington did based on their record in the South and all that kind of stuff. And you luck your way in by a division championship to get that home game. But other than that game, everything pretty just went to chalk, man. I mean, it's just kind of the way it is.
Minnesota was cooked last night. The minute those fans showed up from L.A. and did the whole like rendition where they made that feel like a home game.
That felt like an L.A. game. They did a great job with that.
Awesome. See, I think that's the benefit of playing Monday night as opposed to the Chargers playing Saturday.
Yeah.
Because Saturday was kind of quick turnaround. Like, you didn't really get to, they were the first game. So, right. And again, every game paid tribute to the disastrous fires in L.A. And then that game, they had, Andrew Whitworth was up on a pedestal giving a speech.
How did he become the spokesman for the L.A. Rams? He played, 14 seasons in Cincinnati and, 5 in L.A.
He won a bowl, baby.
Right. That's exactly what it is, right?
He won a bowl protecting Matthew Stafford.
He won the Super Bowl, grabbed the microphone at the parade, and since then, he's been, their big poppy, right? Follow that guy anywhere.
I think he also won a Walter Payton.
Man of the Year
good
award.
Guy, yeah. Noticeably good guy. Fun, entertaining, and then he's lost the hoodie.
Yeah,
somebody called him out.
Somebody told him. I don't know. I don't mind that look. I know a lot of people are anti-hoodie jacket look. Yeah. I don't know.
But get one or the other, dude.
He'll bring it back. Yeah. Andrew Whitworth became, the way I was viewing it yesterday, this is the Big Poppy of Los Angeles.
For sure.
Yeah. Big Poppy had a career with the Boston Red Sox, right?
Oh, and then after the bombing, and he dropped that speech at
Fenway. That's what I'm saying. Right?
Game over.
And then Andrew Whitworth is out there. I'm like, so I looked it up. I'm like, 11 years with Cincinnati, mm-hmm. 5 years, you know, really 4 because he missed half a year because mm-hmm. of injury with the Rams. But you win a Super Bowl and you become a hero. You win a World Series, you become a hero in that town. And I'm like, damn, of all the people they could have picked, Andrew Whitworth has asserted himself in as Mr. LA. Good for him, man. He saw that after football he could have a career. He grabbed that microphone after they won the Super Bowl, and it's been nothing but good stuff from Andrew Whitworth.
I would ask, how many years have they been in LA?
They moved in LA 9 years ago last week.
Okay. So they're relatively fresh. He's probably biggest noticeable guy since they've won a Super Bowl in that franchise in the last nine. They've only won one in 9 years, right?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, Stafford's still playing.
They've won 8 playoff games in the last 8 years with Sean McVay as their head coach. Stunned. Pretty good number, right? Yeah. This playoff game a year. Put it into perspective. In the prior 31 years before Sean McVay, they won 8 playoff games. And so Sean McVay, you talk about coaching and why it's important.
Vermeil's got 3. Well, I guess that was St. Louis.
But that counts. Same franchise. Vermeil has 3. No, because they played. I don't think they played the wild card round, so they played the divisional. Yeah, so 3. Yeah. So they won 3, and then I think Martz has another 2 or something
Martz.
That. So that's 5 in a 3-year span.
Martz
you know,
looks like
St.
the guy
Louis.
You copied off his test during science.
He's another one of forcing a guy out to bring a guy in mm-hmm. as the head coach. Vermeil was, you know, they wanted to move on. And so they wanted to keep Mike Martz because he was going to go somewhere else and be a head football coach. Let these guys go be head football coaches. The bending over backwards that's going to take place in Dallas for a guy named Kellen Moore in the next 24, 48 hours is going to be just wild.
Speaking of Dallas, I thought the most noticeable thing last night, that game was trash. Sam Darnold was trash.
Sam Darnold, by the way, I hate to break it to you, UFL may be better for you next year than NFL.
Got to work on that pocket presence. He looked like Quinn Ewers in that.
Did he not look like a guy who's never played in the last eight quarters? I've never seen somebody just shoot themselves in the foot and cost themselves millions of dollars in a 2-week span.
$20 million a year.
Yeah, there is a term that we use in sports where when you see a guy's eyes when it gets tense, that man was shook. That was a full on. That guy was.
The game
shook.
Just looked too big for Sam Darnold over the last 2 weeks. Sorry, man. Go be a backup in the XFL. Go play for the Birmingham Stallions.
Looked at Minnesota's schedule. It's like they were 14-3 this year, right? They were good. They lost to Detroit twice. They lost to the Rams twice.
Right.
So I mean, they beat some good teams, right? They beat Houston. They beat other teams, but they beat. I don't know. It came very, very fast for the Minnesota Vikings.
Sam Darnold had an opportunity over the last eight quarters to go one way or the other. He went left instead of going right.
Way left.
You talk about a gentleman who had the greatest of opportunity in front of him.
It's crazy.
And really, all he had to do was not F it all up, right? Just go out there and play competent football. He went out there and played worse than Daniel Jones could have ever played. He went out there and played worse than Aaron Rodgers. He went out there and played worse than, who was the guy from Canada, Casey Printers, that was the quarterback of the Chiefs for 5 minutes. He played worse than Matt Castle. He played worse than, you had eight quarters to go out there and earn yourself some money. That tells you what kind of guy that is. That guy can go pound salt. Screw him.
Oh, man. But the other noticeable thing was the pregame. Max guy Troy Aikman dropped a bomb about the Dallas Cowboys coaching position.
But this job's as coveted as any because you're going to run the Dallas Cowboys. In what direction do you think they ought to look?
Well, I thought Mike McCarthy would be the head coach. So this is a bit of a surprise for me today that he's not going to be. And what went into those conversations that Schefter talked about, I'm not exactly sure. But it suggests that there's not a real plan. I mean, and the fact that they haven't had the opportunity to maybe interview a Ben Johnson and some of these others, Aaron Glenn. I think that what Schefter said as far as Kellen Moore being a candidate, that seems logical to me. A guy who has familiarity with the building. He's worked, obviously, with the Cowboys and with Jerry Jones, and they know each other very well. In fact, when Mike McCarthy got the job, it was told to Mike that Kellen Moore would be the offensive coordinator. So that's how much the Jones family thinks of him. Beyond that, it's hard to imagine. As far as a coveted job, I don't know that that's accurate. I mean, really? I do think the Cowboys are obviously a high-profile team. Whoever is head coach of that team is certainly going to draw a lot of attention. But I think most football people that take over as a head coach, they want to do it on their terms.
That's fair.
That's hard to do. And it's, you know, if you take a Dan Campbell, for instance, is Dan Campbell if he's with the Dallas Cowboys? It's hard to imagine that he is. It's hard to imagine that a lot of these coaches might be. So I love the Dallas Cowboys. I played there for 12 years. I wish them well. But to say that it's a coveted job, I'm not sure I would necessarily agree with it.
I totally agree with everything Troy Aikman said.
So hold on to it. Mac, hold on to yours. We'll get to what we think about Troy Aikman's comments, because I think we all agree and we all have our little opinion on it. We'll give it to you on the other side here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Coming up in about 10 seconds, everyone's most hated segment of the week, the Likens Library. Deal with it. You got to get your scholastics in your brain, baby. You got to get that brain knowledge. You got to get that, you know, that bookworm in your head. I'm trying to keep you educated. Got a couple new stories to talk about. Hey, if you think I'm the only one going to the library, Mac and Bob are going. And A.J. Brown's going.
A.J. Brown will be in the library.
So the Likens Library has officially reached Philadelphia.
Imagine being that guy who wrote the book and waking up on Monday morning and your book is a number one bestseller.
Ding, ding, ding,
you literally
ding,
ding. Did nothing.
Perfect.
It's the greatest thing ever. It's my dream.
Imagine being George R. R. Martin, who wrote the Game of Thrones books back in the 70s and the 80s, and all of a sudden HBO wants to do a thing, and all of a sudden your book goes... And you're like,
is he dead though?
Not yet.
Okay, good, good, good.
Yeah, so
good,
he saw
good,
that
good.
All happen. That's
yeah,
good. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. No, well, there's nothing worse than like some dead serious, guy yeah. getting his book stolen and then everybody making money off it.
Well, he's got one more book to write, and he's yet to write it.
You're not, old you're is not
this
bitter.
Guy. I mean, it's not about age; it's about physical health.
Okay,
he's like huge,
oh.
and he's also like 69, 70 probably. But
so
Winds of Winter. Is just Winds of Winter. Get a bunch of typers in a lab.
I was going to say.
And just start spewing.
Come on.
It'll be the number one seller in the world.
Even if it's a half-assed novel.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. The minute releases, everyone's... Because we don't know. We don't know. Well, you had the final episode, final season of Game of Thrones. Anyways. So I want to go back to that Dallas topic.
Speaking of cold and frigid.
Right? I love Troy Aikman's comments. I will say, I love that he says it's not a coveted job. And the way that I think that it defined it was the fact that he's like, is Dan Campbell in Dallas? And the answer is 1,000% no.
Yeah, probably not.
And that's exactly why it doesn't work in Dallas.
Well, and I enjoy Troy Aikman saying it's not a coveted job, because as he was saying that, I wrote down, why is Dallas coveted? And then I realized all the ball washers for the NFL are required to say this kind of stuff. The partners with the league, the Scott Van Pelts, the Adam Schefters, the Ian Rappaports, all of these guys that cover the NFL that work for these networks, they got to protect the shield. That's what the NFL's always been about, protecting the shield. How do you protect the shield? Continue this ruse that Dallas is something special when they're clearly not anything special. Since Dallas has last won a Super Bowl, the Panthers have been to two of them.
What was that year? 95?
1996.
Oh, they won in 96.
1996 was the last time the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl. I've got it pulled up right here. The last time Dallas won was January 28th, 1996. So after the 1995 season, right? Okay, that's the last time Dallas has won or been to a Super Bowl.
So almost 30 years.
That's exactly right. I was in my second semester of college, okay? That's how long ago this was.
I was 9.
I was 19 and Mac was negative.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right? You weren't even born the last time the Dallas Cowboys.
You were still a shot glass and still a tequila.
You weren't even a thought, Mac, and I hate to say it that way, but like that's 3-4 years prior to you even being born, right? Yeah. So this puts it into perspective of how just irrelevant the Dallas Cowboys have been. Had it been any other franchise in the NFL, they would be the laughing stock. But P.T. Barnum, Jerry Jones, and his big top, Jerry World, they've done a great job of making themselves relevant, right? You've been to the three-ring circus before, the P.T. Barnum Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus, and they try to distract your attention. Oh, there's going to be a unicorn. There's going to be a bearded woman. There's going to be a guy on a high dive. There's going to be somebody with their hair spinning in circles through fire, like just ways to distract you. That's what Jerry Jones does. He's a distractor. He's a brilliant distractor, all while thinking and creating this illusion that they're a good football team.
He's got 8.5 inches.
Since Dallas has won a Super Bowl, Cleveland has moved to Baltimore and become the Ravens. The Rams have moved to St. Louis and back to L.A. And the Raiders have been to the Super Bowl. The Cardinals have been to the Super Bowl. The Giants have won 2 Super Bowls. The Eagles have won a Super Bowl. And now the Washington football team is back on top.
And Mahomes was born.
Patrick Mahomes was born. The Dallas Browns have become arguably one of the most irrelevant teams in the NFL. And so I love the fact that Troy Aikman basically went to one of the faces of the league, ESPN, and goes, this is not a coveted job. It's not. This is not a good job at all because of Jerry Jones. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm talking about when it comes to ownership. Jerry Jones is arguably the worst owner in American professional sports. He gets in the way of everything. He's George Steinbrenner. George Steinbrenner went away for a couple of years. The Yankees got better and took off and became a model franchise again. The best thing for the Dallas Cowboys to do is for their owner to fire their general manager, take a back seat, put adults in charge, and run that franchise the right way. And until that happens, the Dallas Browns are going to continue to be the laughing stock of the NFL. They're no better than the Arizona Cardinals. They're no better than Jacksonville. They're no better than Carolina. They're no better than the Falcons. The Dallas Cowboys are an irrelevant franchise that has done a great job of marketing themselves like they're a franchise that matters. You've been irrelevant for 30 years. What other team? Like, the Royals didn't go to the playoffs for 30 years. We call them a dead stick. The Dallas Cowboys are a dead stick right now.
Speaking of a very live stick, it is that time of the year for Patrick Mahomes to be that guy. Once again, this is the best time of the year for Kansas City football fans because we sit back and we get to wait, right? Maybe it's just me, but it seems like every year in the playoffs, it's like, what's this guy going to do, right? A couple years ago, the ankle was hurt. Then there was a couple of years ago where they're down by 24, and then they go down by 10, and you just never really know. But the thing that I think is so awesome, or what's fun about playoff Mahomes, is that he makes it look unfair for everybody else. Like, you watched Sam Darnold last night.
Right. He makes it look unfair, and that causes people to say it's unfair and to say the refs are in bed with the Chiefs and all of this nonsense.
Right. Like, I don't know if you ever grew up with somebody, because, like, you know, I had friends that we all rode bikes, but there was a couple of those friends that, like, just made it look easier. They could do things on their bike, and I'm like, I can, like, barely make mine hop.
Right.
And then, you know, my other buddies up there, like, swinging like he's Matt Hoffman on it. I'm just like, RIP. But I'm just like, how does he do that? And like, you watch Mahomes in the playoffs where it's super tense. It's, you got to be perfect. You got to do this. And it's like, he just goes with the flow.
And that's why he's as good as he is, because he never gets tense. He doesn't play scared. He doesn't play like a Sam Darnold.
Right. And now he's rested and he has everybody ready, right? Even from the defensive side to the offensive side. The only thing he does not have is Rashee Rice, but they've replaced Rashee Rice's role with two guys that basically equal him, which is DeAndre Hopkins and Juju Smith-Schuster. Now the regular season's done and you have that compensatory pick, number first, the first pick in the third round from Tennessee, you can play DeAndre Hopkins for 70% of snaps, 80% of snaps, whatever it may be.
You don't think DeAndre Hopkins' snap count is going to be up there in the postseason?
Oh, absolutely.
And here's what they'll tell you afterwards. Well, he's older. We wanted to make sure he was healthy and fresh. And there's a part of that. It's like 20%. It's like 20% of the category. The other 80% is, we're not giving up a higher draft pick for this guy. We can win and have him play less than 50% of the plays. We're going to go ahead and do that.
Right. And this is, to me,
and
where
then bench him for good measure against Denver in the last week.
Right. And this is where there really isn't any rust, in my opinion, because this is where he shines. This is where, like, 15, like, the jersey's a bit more red. The hair flows a little bit more. The bandana's a little bit more sick. The everything just kind of flows. And I was watching the first half of the franchise last night, and I was taken back by Andy Reid's reaction, because how they started this episode was, I don't think they should play Patrick Mahomes. His ankle's beat up, and these talking heads being like, I would rest him. I don't know if I'd play him. And then they show him do that run in the first play, and he goes back and sits on the bench. He goes, keep calling it. Keep calling it. Let's do it. Andy Reid's just literally sitting there speechless, like, dear God, I don't know what I got, but this is awesome.
Yeah,
like, he's just so taken aback by his competitiveness and, like, just, like, his way to, like, there's two types of Mahomes. One, when everybody's like, I don't know, like, yeah, he might be a little off. And then it's like, hold my beer, right? Worst season of his life. And then after that Buffalo game, or before the Buffalo game, went on a tear and had an MVP sort of second half. But you got to do it all year. I get it. And then there's the Mahomes that, like, gets to the playoffs. And I don't know, maybe for some, like, he's 29. But every year he has delivered something that drops your jaw. Every year in the playoffs, there's something where you're like, geez, man, like, that's just Patrick
Mahomes.
That's
what the great players in professional sports have always done, whether it's Michael Jordan, whether it's Derek Jeter, whether it's LeBron James, whether it's Big Poppy. You know, these guys that are superstars raise their game to a different level in the postseason. That's why they're superstars. That's why you pay them the money. That's why you can't sit around and use the old cliches that everybody likes to use. You mentioned the rust. Lowest hanging fruit in the world is people talking about the Chiefs and rust and rest and all of that kind of stuff. That is the most nonsensical nonsense that you could use. Just fine. We're not worried about rust, okay? Right. Let's just stop with the rust and stop with the rest and all of those low-hanging fruits. The people who said Patrick Mahomes shouldn't have played on the ankle, clearly, just, they don't have a clue. They really don't have a clue when you said Patrick Mahomes shouldn't play on an ankle, because if you had a clue, then you would understand that when you say Patrick's not going to play, he's going to go out there and he's going to kick your ass. And now we're entering Mahomes season, right? This is a different style of football. This is going to be a different style of game. Patrick Mahomes takes whatever he did in the regular season. It doesn't matter. Now we got the best of everything. We combine it all together and we go out there and win. And you're right. I think the jerseys are redder in the playoffs. I think his hair is a little bit flowier in the playoffs. Like, this is his time. And this is his time to shine brighter than any other player in the history of the NFL. And it begins on Saturday. If you don't think Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are going to come and put on a show for the next 3 weeks, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. And you're sorely mistaken, because these two guys are going to put on a show. Kelce was on with McAfee the other day, right?
And yesterday,
right? And he goes, I'm feeling 22. And like after he said that, I'm like, Oh, boy. We are going to see Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes light this effing world on fire and leave everybody in the rubble for days in the NFL. And nobody's ever going to be able to catch this franchise. Nobody's ever going to be able to top a three-peat. Nobody's going to be able to do what these guys are about to do. And if you're doubting it, get the hell out of the way because they're going to run you over.
The other thing about Patrick Mahomes, again, 29 years old. 29 years old, right? He's got 41 touchdowns in the playoffs.
Do you know how many Super Bowls the Cowboys have won in Mahomes' lifetime?
Zero.
That's right.
So he's 29 years old. He has 41 playoff touchdowns. Dusty, what does that mean? Well, he's three behind Brett Favre. He's four behind Aaron Rodgers. That would make him third all time. If he gets to 45, which would be four more, or 46, he would pass Joe Montana. Not only that, if he gets one more win, he ties Joe Montana.
That's right.
If he gets a title, he ties Joe Montana. If Mahomes goes on this run and they win a three-peat and he gets all these numbers, he gets to, let's say he gets to 47 touchdowns. Let's say those six touchdowns. He has 47 playoff touchdowns. He would then have 18 playoff wins. He'd be 18-3, second all-time in wins. He'd be second all-time in touchdowns. He'd be second all-time in rings, tied with Montana. He would be solidified at that point as the second greatest quarterback to ever play in the NFL, and he wouldn't even be 30, and he'd have 10 to 11 years to catch Brady.
But see, I'll disagree with you on that, because I think if Mahomes does all that, he becomes the greatest quarterback of all time, because he would have accomplished something that Montana couldn't accomplish, Steve Young couldn't accomplish, Tom Brady couldn't accomplish, and that's winning three in a row. And for me, from where I sit, that is the most coveted, hardest thing to do in the NFL. It's the one thing we haven't seen yet. And Joe Montana is one of the greatest of all time. Tom Brady's one of the greatest of all time. Steve Young has been one of the great, like, all these guys that have won these back-to-back championships have never been able to win a third, let alone even maybe get back to the postseason to have an opportunity to go for three. Even Troy Aikman back in the day when they were winning back-to-back in Dallas, they never were able to go out there and win three in a row. It's never been done. And I know it's a team thing, but the quarterbacks and the head coaches get all the credit in the world for it. So in my opinion, if they win the Super Bowl this year, And Patrick Mahomes continues to play like he's been playing, and they three-peat it, it puts him in a different level. It puts him above everybody else because he's done something literally nobody in the history of the world has ever been able to do.
Library time. All right, welcome to the library. There's going to be people on the text line that hate this segment, but that's okay. The library is only open for three more weeks. I promise you'll probably still be listening. So we started the library off with somebody who already checked out a book. His name is AJ Brown. He went to the library last week. There are two copies if you guys would like it. The book is called Train Your Mind for Extraordinary Performance and the Best Possible Life.
I wish he was reading a Playboy.
I don't know if they make those anymore.
Do they not? Really?
Really? Wow.
Which would be more impressive if he had like the Sable edition. That was the first time Lycan saw a Playboy was Miss Sable. Are you boys ready for the grind?
Wow. The Barbie twins for me. Your first Playboy, 913-586-7965.
Sable. By God, rest. What cheese player would you think most likely would read this book if frustrated?
Tyreek Hill. Oh, current Chiefs player.
Yeah. And tone it down, Mr. Fesco.
I don't know that there's anybody on the team right now that I think would be frustrated player.
I'll give you an idea. I think he wears number 95.
Chris Jones.
Okay.
No, I think he just, he just yells, throws a tablet, and calls it a day, which is fine.
Chuck Minihue for me.
Okay. Well, that's a good one.
Yeah. Got some diva in him.
A little bit. You got to have a little diva in. Yeah. You know what? I will go with, I'll stick with my original answer of Tyreek Hill. Yeah.
Okay.
It's fair.
That's fair. I don't know if he gets past page one.
He probably bought the book just for
audio book.
Yeah.
It just needed to be read. We move on. I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Running Man, but it's based off of a book, science fiction, right? Arnold Schwarzenegger was in that movie.
Mm-hmm.
You get selected for a game show, you advance. Better running man this year, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs didn't want to sign with the Chiefs, he said this week, because he wanted to beat the team that's the best, not join the team that's the best.
Oh, so he went to Green Bay.
So he went to Green Bay, and he's out of the playoffs.
Doesn't make sense.
I'm going to go ahead and say, I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley. I think Saquon Barkley, because he changed that entire team around. But so did Derrick Henry. But they were good before. I'm going to go Saquon Barkley on this one. I think he had a great year.
I'm going to go Henry because Lamar looks different.
There's no need to yell about
Jalen Hurts looks the same. You said he looked good last week. I think he looked bad.
I said he didn't look rusty.
That's fair.
I didn't say good. Get it right.
That's fair. I thought he looked rusty. Maybe that's just how he always looks.
Are you guys fans of being able to pick your own adventure?
The choose your own adventure books were always good. Yes. Yeah.
So we have a few new books on the shelf of being able to choose your new adventure.
Mm-hmm.
The Mike Vrabel story. The Bill Belichick story, which is literally got a couple empty pages at the end. And one guy that's starting to choose his new adventure, maybe possibly could be Deion Sanders. That's an entertaining book.
Yeah, the Deion one would be entertaining, but it does have like Jerry Jones involved. That's and right. I'd rather work for the snow than Jerry Jones.
Well, you're going to be kicked out of the library to keep
that's fine. Bill, the only reason I would pick him is because he has a 26-year-old girlfriend.
Weird.
And then I think Vrabel, man, I think that's going to be a fun story to follow. I think they're going to be good really fast.
Yeah, I'll agree. But I do agree with you. The most entertaining story, I mean, there's no question. Deion Sanders is going to be, if that happens, that's money.
If that happens, yes. Oh, if that happens, it's God's gift to us.
It's dynamite.
Please
for us.
Do
yes.
it. Please.
Yes.
Please. And then go draft Shador. And then, you know.
Never win again.
So unfortunately, sometimes you have to go to the sad section of the library, and there's a couple of books that had sad endings. You can pick which one to check out. Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, Baker Mayfield.
Well, Jordan Love, some would say, is a fraud. I don't think it was ever that good. Same with Herbert. Baker, for me, is the sad one.
I'd say Herbert. I mean, Jordan Love's going up against the best defense in football. Baker going up against the best rookie in football. Yeah, I should have won that game at home, but that at least was a good game. You and I thought that was going to be a close game. Justin Herbert, man, I know the Texans team may be more talented roster-wise, but that was a game you needed to look better in. At least look better. Not necessarily win, but damn, you look bad. I'm sorry.
And there's absolutely no cussing in the library. Dude.
Him and Sam Darnold, they're like the two Spider-Men standing there trying to figure out who played worse. You? Me? Hold my beer? No, hold my beer.
Now we flip the script even more. We go to the better short story. These, you know, they're about 17 pages or weeks. Jim or Sean?
Who are they?
Jim Harbaugh.
It's today.
Not Sean, sorry. Kevin O'Connell. It was a good story, but it was short.
No, I think Kevin O'Connell's, that's chapter two of a long, long novel.
I hope you're right.
Jim Harbaugh, I think that's the first chapter of like three. So I'll go with Harbaugh.
I don't think either of these stories will be short, but yeah, I'll go KOC.
I think Harbaugh's going to wear out his welcome just like he does everywhere else. I mean, that guy bounces every 4 years.
He was with Michigan for almost a decade. Yeah, 8 years.
That's because he had to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
That's fair.
Dystopian fiction. Frightening speculative view of the future. That's a popular novel. You might be familiar with The Hunger Games.
Oh.
That's that type of novel. Or story.
Love it.
Or book or series. Dallas, Pittsburgh, Without Tomlin, or Chicago?
The other two are dumpster fires anyway. So I'll go Pittsburgh Without Tomlin is very scary because if you are a franchise that have had three coaches since the 60s, very rarely ever had a losing season, and you've got Mike Tomlin in here and you're going to make a change, if you're the owner of the Steelers, how do you continue this path of hiring outstanding coaches? Because it's not easy to do, as we see by the flavor of the day in the NFL and some of these nitwits that get hired as head coaches. So if I'm Pittsburgh without Mike Tomlin, it is very scary because you don't know what the future is. And eventually the odds are going to say you're going to swing and miss on a head coach.
All right. That is the library edition this week. Thank you for joining that library. Somebody says from the 415, love the library segment. And then you get other people. Is Bob as annoyed as the rest of us by the Likens Library? They spelt it L-I-K-E-N-S, or is that part of his shtick?
Snooze Fest.
Come on.
L-I-K-I-N-S. If you'd like to spell the name right, 816, it's okay. And then more first Playboys coming in.
That's all I care about. I don't really Shannon care what people Tweed. Think of the library, quite honestly.
Yeah, we're doing it anyways, so don't care.
Somebody says, my first Playboy was Shannon Tweed. She's still a smoke show. Jenny McCarthy, smoke show. How did, you know, Jim Carrey was like the original
he Pete. He was in Playboy?
No, but he was like the original Pete Davidson. He was like the funny, goofy guy that was just getting all these like babes.
Yeah,
and then
that's fair.
Humor sells. I've just somehow missed it. Vanna White was in Playboy? There's no way. I would go buy it right now.
No way.
I'll take an R.
I have never heard that one
Liz
before.
Hurley was. By God, she can still go for me. Madonna. Eh.
Playboy Magazine, May 1987, Vanna White cover and pictorial.
Shut the front door. She wasn't nude in it, though, was she?
It says cover, right?
Yeah, cover.
So she was just on the front. I would lose a turn, go bankrupt, and get rid of my wild card for everything just to have that in my life. Don't forget, we are going to drop off more shirts, more playoff shirts, thanks to our friends now at DM Law. You know, Mike's got this. We'll let you know what time and what day that we will be doing that. But coming up on the other side, we get into our Tough Tuesdays here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it, it is a Tuesday, some people's favorite day of the week. Some people think it's Wednesday. I know it's Tuesday, Taco Tuesday, baby.
But you can have tacos any day of the week.
Oh,
is
really?
That,
okay.
Is that the one? Is that the? That got me a little bit. Is that the? Is that the one food you think you could eat 7 days a week? I know it's probably egregious to say you could eat one food item the whole week, but like I feel like that or pizza's up there.
Yes.
Because I had pizza last night with pesto on it. It was
very good, so but good. I couldn't do pizza every night.
That's tough. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very hard. Tacos, I could. Probably because there's so many different varieties of tacos.
Yes.
You use soft tacos, hard tacos,
shrimp, beef,
whatever you like. There's so many just variations that you can go with. So I could probably do that.
What's the best meat for a taco? Easy text line.
Because
I like a nice carne asada.
That's good.
See, I'm a big fish taco guy.
Yeah, me too. Mm. Yes.
Like a blackened fish?
Yeah, not fried. I would go a grilled mahi-mahi or shrimp or something like that. Like, I'm a big seafood guy, so I would go any kind of seafood.
If we do go to New Orleans if the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl, I'm going to eat a po' boy sandwich every day that we're there.
You'll be puking.
I hope.
Yeah.
At least I'll be skinny. It's the best of both worlds. It's like hot ice. You heat up the ice cubes. I think Creole food is the most underrated food out in the world. I've never had like great French cuisine, which I've heard is very good. But man, Creole food, gumbo, jambalaya, oysters, crawfish, all that, man. Like, good lordy wardy.
There's a lot of good food in New Orleans. I'll tell you that. Jasper will set us up places too.
Oh, nice.
Believe me. Yes, he knows the whole city. So.
Oh, nice. Let's just like, we could get him on the plane.
Show me around.
Just let him be our tour guide. Yeah, you don't want to go there. You don't
Jasper,
go there.
You're going to New Orleans with us. Pack a bag, my friend.
You don't want to go there. You want to go over here. Okay, sweet. Come back and just be absolutely happy. But it is a Tuesday, so we get to have our Tough Tuesdays. I don't know if Dallas is going to make this list. We've talked a lot about Dallas already. My Tough Tuesday starts off with the Minnesota Vikings. I say this because I don't know, man. It was such a great season, and then the last couple episodes were just terrible. Like, you lost to Detroit, and you're like, all right, that's, you know, one bad game. And then last night's performance, it was like, wow.
They doubled down last night, didn't they?
Not only that, but, like, the reason I say it's tough is because now people are going to question Kevin O'Connell. People are going to be like, well, now it's, I don't know, Sam Darnold was that guy. He was good all year, but it didn't matter when it mattered and, you know, lost to Detroit, so they lost the number one seed, had to go on the road. Played against the Rams, lost to the Rams. If you go back to about 3 weeks ago, I said the Rams are the one team in the NFC I don't want to play. They're getting hot at the right time. They have the best coach in the NFC. They have a Super Bowl winning quarterback. They have a formula that works. And they're a high-powered offense. Puka Nacua is a stud. They didn't even use Cooper Kupp last night.
Cooper Kupp didn't have his first reception until like the second half, that play down the sideline.
One catch for like 23 yards.
Where's Cooper Kupp been all night?
What did he do to Stafford? What happened?
Puka Nacua is his guy, and the tight end dude that got hurt early on was having himself a start to the game. And then boom, chest injury, and he's out, you know. So that was tough for the Rams, but they overcame it. They were fine. Yeah. You know, I don't think Kevin O'Connell should be questioned at all today. No. I don't know what Kevin O'Connell didn't do right in that game. I know what Sam Darnold didn't do right. I mean, I'm not a stat nerd. I'm not a play nerd. I'm not an X's and O nerd. Mm-hmm. But when I can see that Sam Darnold throw the football, bro.
Yeah, he was
like you got to get rid of the ball.
Zero pocket awareness.
Only, For the stat for that is only two of Darnold's six sacks taken have come in less than 4.4 seconds.
That means he's just holding on.
4 seconds is a long time, guys. I
mean, you get Patrick Mahomes.
Ask any high school kid, man. 4 seconds is a long time.
I know what he means by that.
Two,
three, four.
Like, and I'm
get rid
spent.
Of it. Get rid of it. Throw it.
You were talking yesterday. I don't know if this was on the air or we were, you know, playing grab ass or whatever. But you'd mentioned like the hang time of Tommy Thompson, the punter.
Tommy Townsend. It was in the post production.
Yeah, and like 4.6 seconds or whatever it
number
is.
Number one in the NFL.
Right. That's a long time, man. Yeah. That is a long. Like, just think about a ball being pitched from home plate from the pitcher. Like less than a second, it gets there. Like sports time, man, moves fast. But 4 seconds plus to hold on to the football in the NFL. Imagine if Patrick Mahomes had 4 seconds to throw on every. What was that? I mean, are you right back? Did you just look at Vanna White in high school? Like, the hell?
I'd like to buy a vowel. Oh,
my God. I mean, let's rank the moan by Mac right there.
10.
On,
I mean, my God.
You're doing it to me this morning. I mean, that's incredible.
But 4 seconds is a very long time to hold that foot. Like,
I've been trying to say that for years.
Sam Darnold last night, man. I know he's your guy. He stunk.
No, he stunk.
His last 8 quarters have cost him the future.
So tough Tuesday for Minnesota as well because of the way it ended. Tough for Cowboy fans today. Man, you have no idea what your franchise is doing. My good friend Mike Price, I know you're listening. I know you're a tough fan because he was sending me messages last night. He's like, dude, I don't know. Again, you have the opportunity to leave your franchise. Come over here where the water's warm.
Well, it's not even come over here. It's like after 30 years, why are you still there? And I don't want to hear I'm a fan. No, it's okay to say, you know what? For 30 years, you haven't given me what. Like, would you stay in a marriage for 30 years if your wife was Jerry Jones?
Who's having sex with Jerry Jones?
Yeah, right.
Nailed it.
Got it.
Knew it was coming.
But like, seriously, like, like if your wife or your husband were the Dallas Cowboys, wouldn't you have kicked that loser ass to the curb a decade ago?
Well,
or decades ago?
You gave me this ring 30 years ago. It's really nice, but it doesn't mean anything now.
I mean, I know a lot of people stay married in relationships for the kids. Like, your kids are 30 now. Like, they got their own kids. You're grandparents. It's time to move on.
Yeah,
so,
your most coveted kid is now saying that you don't have a coveted job.
That's right. Yeah. Like, it's not a coveted job down there. And for Troy Aikman to say that, man, that takes some balls for Troy Aikman to say that, man. I love the fact that he did. Because it's true. Being a coach at a local high school is more coveted right now than being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. At least you can help kids.
Well, imagine if Jerry Jones was your program director. He'd be like, you don't need to talk about this. We're going to do this. We're going to stick to the 90s, you know, radio. We're not going to do 2025 radio.
Right. Or any job. But that, again, you're only as good as your leadership.
Nobody likes to be micromanaged.
And in sports, you're only as good as your owner allows you to be. And Jerry Jones he's going to hire Kellen Moore and try to be the puppet master again. Mm-hmm. And we all know how that's going to end up.
Yep. And then my last tough Tuesday is Jim Harbaugh. You got a tough Tuesday, man, because now you have to go back to the drawing board and you have to get a real good, serious conversation with your quarterback who you're supposed to be able to bring up to this league and have ready. And you got a firsthand look at what was Justin Herbert's biggest flaw was, can he win a playoff game? Can he show up in the playoffs? He definitely did not. He was definitely bad. Now you have a very tough task to be like, okay, how can I get Justin Herbert over this hump and stay relevant in the AFC West that is getting tougher and tougher and tougher? And oh, by the way, I've got to compete against Patrick Mahomes, and I've got to get my quarterback ready for playoff football.
Compete against him, compete against Bo Nix now, the Raiders if they hire Pete Carroll. I mean, the division is only, well, I shouldn't say only going to get, depends on what the Raiders do. But I think Bo Nix is going to be better next year. I think, obviously, you know, the Chiefs are going to be as good as they are every single year. You're competing against a very, very tough group right now, and the Chargers need to go out there and figure out if Justin Herbert's their answer. My tough Tuesday is pretty simple. It's Sam Darnold. I mean, I've never seen an athlete in my life cost himself so much money so fast like Sam Darnold did. 10 days ago, 8 days ago, 9 days ago, we were talking about, wow, maybe Sam Darnold could go to the Giants or to the Jets and turn around a franchise like he did in Minnesota. Now, I'd rather have anybody but Sam Darnold as my starting quarterback because he showed his true colors. When it matters most, Sam Darnold turned back into a pumpkin and stunk.
So you're ready for J.J. McCarthy if you're a Minnesota fan?
I think you have to be right. I think that, you know, they in sports, everything seemingly just works out, right? It figures itself out. And kind of like in life as well, things just kind of figure themselves out. In this situation, I think Minnesota over these last 8 quarters was given a golden opportunity to say, you know what, we're moving on from Sam Darnold. Major decision, easy. Let J.J. McCarthy be the guy. You know what you have in Sam Darnold. A guy that's not tough in the mind. A guy that can't win when it matters most. You don't want that guy anymore as your quarterback. J.J. McCarthy's an unknown. You're starting J.J. McCarthy next year.
Yeah, tough for Sam Darnold, man.
Boy, I mean, you think about his wife, too. Go, man, you cost us like $20 million a year, bro.
Literally, over $100 million gone. Whoop.
Tough. Coming up on the other side, we've seen this before from the Houston Texans. I'll tell you why I say that, because there are a lot of similarities when this time, last time they played in this round, in this stadium, for this game. I'll tell you why on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.